live King of California on KCRW and Morning Becomes Eclectic. This is Dave Alvin and Greg Lease. Dave Alvin is my guest. You're listening to Morning Becomes Eclectic. Dave Alvin singing and playing guitar with Greg Leese on mandolin. Welcome to KCRW.
Well, thanks for having us.
All right. So you have a new album out on High Tone Records. It's called King of California. So who is the King of California?
The one thing good about having the record named this is I have a new nickname. So now I walk into bars and like, hey, King, hey, King, let me buy you a beer, hey, King. Yeah. So everyone is the King of California, you know? It's kind of like the King of the Blues or King of the Dreamers or King of the Losers. It's that kind of thing.
Is there a story behind the King of California?
Well, where the title came from?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a friend of mine, and I'm one of these guys, and Greg is too. We kind of like know a lot of like arcane and esoteric stuff about California because I'm like a fourth generation Californian. Greg's like a fourth generation Californian. So
congratulations.
That's a good thing.
I don't know that many.
Yeah. And so anyway, to make a long story short, if I was ever like driving with this person, I would say, well, you know what used to be there, or you know you could take that road there, and you go into this little place, and there's like a. There's a little house, and in 1906, this guy, you know, shot his dog or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So this friend of mine just started calling me King of California, and I was like, yeah, that's a good title for a song. And then eventually one day it just kind of popped out.
And became the title of your album.
Yeah.
So you're attracted to storytelling in your writing. I mean, you write poetry, as a matter of fact. You even write your own liner notes and your own bio material. So,
nothing Einstein couldn't do. Well, you know,
but it's unusual.
Well, yeah, but you know, sometimes you read those bios and you don't know who wrote them. You know, he's the greatest thing since chocolate milk, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and you just like, well, that's okay. Can we back off on that a little? You know, and I studied poetry with a couple of great poets and a couple of great teachers, Elliot Freed and Gerald Lachlan and a guy named Richard Lee. Years and years ago, and they were very strict in there, especially Elliot Freed was very strict and made us write sonnets and blank verse and Alexandrines and all of that stuff, which at that time I had no idea existed. I was just kind of a free verse ranter. And by sort of grilling his students in iambic pentameter and all that, he really, at the end of the semester, everyone's poetry had improved, whether you're writing free verse or whatever. All of a sudden you knew about stress and, you know, timing and rhythm, where before you just kind of like sprawled it all out there. And so when I started writing songs, it was like not easy, but it was, I had a good basis in sort of wordplay and using the language, so songwriting came easy, you know.
Yeah. Prayer is one that I've heard. It's recorded on a collection called Neighborhood Rhythms,
yeah.
Produced by Harvey Kubernick.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll hear an excerpt from that.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. But anyway, so most of your songs are storytelling songs.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not all. When I was a kid in the 50s, you know, in the early 60s, there was, you know, songs like El Paso by Marty Robbins or Memphis, Tennessee by Chuck Berry. And I was always attracted to those kind of songs or the Lieber and Stoller Coaster songs that told a story because you could picture the story in your head, you know, and I always got a kick out of that. I'm definitely a pre-video kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when I sit down to write a song, I don't feel like the song is successful or complete unless there's a strong image.
Mm-hmm.
And it can either be a storytelling kind of image, but a strong image that, you know, leads your mind to paint a picture. And it's maybe not the best way to write it. So if I was teaching a songwriting course, I would definitely, you know, if students want to be millionaires, I would keep them away from it.
Mm.
You know, because these days, the more non-imagery you are and the more non-storytelling you use, the better, you know.
Mm. What about Bus Station? What story is being told in Bus Station?
Well, this kind of a song about 6 a.m., and it's one of those moments when two people realize or have to decide what they're going to do with their lives. And maybe they made some bad decisions based on bad information, you know. It's kind of, I don't know, I don't maybe to me it says one thing, maybe to someone else it says another. Because, like, a song of mine, like 4th of July, for example, some people think it's a breakup song, and other people think it's a get back together song. And I'm not going to be the guy to tell them which one it is. So, okay. Anyway, Bus Station is just kind of just a sad song. Bus Station. Somehow, looking for a new place to go. He sips his coke and he pulls his ring. He thinks of how she looked years ago. She curls up in a blanket in a yellow plastic seat. He touches her. She looks out the window at an empty morning street. But he must have had a screw loose in his head. End up like this after all he said. She lies to her. She kisses him. Getting tired of love. Station, sun. She reads a ticket in her hand. It's a different name for the same old town. This ain't the life that they had planned. So he tries to tell her it won't be like the times before. It's a different town and a brand new start. And he's gonna work a little bit more. Well, he must have had a screw loose in his head. End up like this after all he said. Lies to her. She kisses him. Getting tired of love. It's summer. Another hour left to blow. He touches her, and she'd like to leave. And there's no place left to go. She must have had a screw loose in her head. How could she believe all those things he said? He lies to her. Getting tired of love. Getting tired of love. Getting tired of love. It's not an easy song to do in the morning. You kind of, even though it's about the morning, you kind of got to get a. It's one of these songs that I get a lot of requests for it live, and you really have to be in a certain mental state to do it. And sometimes after you've just been doing for 20 minutes, and hey, Bus Station, no, you know.
Mm-hmm. Dave Alvin and Greg Lease are my guests. So, well, actually, that brings me to something I was thinking of. I mean, this album is certainly a departure for you. You've gone from loud, sweaty, electric work to an acoustic album that lets your songwriting shine. So, what brought you to this sparse approach? Is it
part of it is Greg's influence and
desperation, maybe.
And part of it is, there's sort of a prejudice against guys that write songs that play Stratocasters, that they're somehow quite not as good as songwriters as people that write songs with acoustic guitars. Mm. And so I wanted to do a quote-unquote singer-songwriter record, you know, something that was that would show off the lyrics, you know. And also I knew from touring acoustically that the voice is better. My voice is better in an acoustic setting just because it's pretty low. And when you got this kind of low voice, when you're playing real loud, sometimes it's just you can't hear it, mm-hmm. you know, over the band. And also, you know, it was just something I wanted to do because, in a way, this guy's so egotistical, I knew it would be good.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always, believed that whether I was in the Blasters or an X or whatever I've done, it's been folk music.
Right. Just depends on the arrangement.
Well, even that, there's certain people that go around today that are called folk singers that, you know, never sat on a back porch singing Froggy Went a Courtin', where certain people, like, say, a rockabilly singer like Sonny Burgess or a blues singer like Buddy Guy did grow up on back porches singing Froggy Went a Courtin', and they're not considered folk music.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's all, you know, if it comes out of that tradition, whether it's electric or acoustic, it's folk music, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, the song that we just heard, Bus Station, is one that you've recorded before.
Yeah.
So, is this album maybe just like a chance to present the songs the way that you originally intended them?
Yeah, yeah. Because Bus Station, the way the Blasters did it, it kind of, if you had the lyric sheet, you were happening. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just a kind of, like, songs like that, or Border Radio was another one that I wrote in a ballad kind of form, but it was a time and place thing, you know. We were doing gigs opening for Fear or Black Flag and or X or something, you know, when I wrote those particular two songs and or the Cramps and stuff. And you just didn't pull ballads out, you know, if you valued your life, you know.
Well, you know, I often wish that many of my favorite artists would record updated or differently arranged versions of their old songs, so I'm really glad.
Well, you know, jazz guys do it a lot.
Yeah.
Duke Ellington would, re-recorded Mood Indigo I don't know how many times, and Mingus did it a lot. And what happens when you play them a lot is I'm kind of blessed in one respect. I don't get sick of my songs. And
why is that? You just love them so much?
Some of them I can't believe I wrote them,
uh-huh.
you know, and then other ones I'm really proud that I wrote them,
yeah.
and I have an ability to, like, close my eyes, and I can go to where I, you know, 9 times out of 10, I can go to the frame of mind I was in when I wrote the song. But what happens, you know, when you're playing, like, every night of the week touring is you have to look for something different, you know, and you look at Bob Dylan now, who's been touring nonstop for, what, 10 years now, or, mm-hmm. or 8 years? And every night he goes up and he does, like, a Rolling Stone, and he has to do it differently just to keep himself creatively enthused about it. So for me, it just became the songs take on a certain depth with age, because sometimes when you write a song, you're just happy that the damn thing rhymes. And you don't know what it's about, or you don't know how deep it runs inside of you. And then 2 years later, you're in Schenectady playing a gig in front of 40 people, and all of a sudden it just clicks. Wow! That's what this song's about, you know? Or, man, that's not bad.
Dave Alvin and Greg Lease are my guests. You're listening to Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW, and I'm sitting in for Chris Derides. I'm Liza Richardson. Next, I'd like to hear a tune called I Won't Be Leaving.
Mm-hmm.
This is an original composition from your new recording, King of California, which features some originals, some covers, just a couple. Some old, some new.
Some borrowed. Yeah, this is kind of a late night. Someone's either leaving or they're not leaving. It's up to you, folks. It's cold and it's raining. Midnight cars roll down the street. The streetlights shine in the gutter, and you've gone off to sleep. You know, baby, I sit up smoking at the ashes off the bed. think of what you told me. And the words I've never said, I won't be leaving, won't be leaving anymore. Now police, helicopters, fly circles in the sky. And I ask myself, baby, could you believe just one more lie? Oh, but baby, I sit up smoking, wipe the ashes off the bed. Think of what you told me, and the words I've never said. Won't believe, won't believe anymore. I see you sleeping, on the floor. It'd be so easy, baby, just to slip out the door. But if you were awake, girl, I swear I would tell you that I won't be leaving anymore. Well, I hear sirens in the dark. Sad stories in the night. You know, it could have been me, caught red-handed. Could have been me who lost the fight. But baby, you know, I sit here smoking, wipe the ashes off the bed. Think of what you told me, and the words that I've never said. I won't believe, won't believe anymore.
To Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW, and my guest live in the studio is Dave Alvin and Greg Leese, playing some slide guitar. What kind of guitar
is
that?
It's a dobro.
A dobro, okay. What is the difference between a dobro and a slide guitar? Is it because it's sitting on your lap?
Dobro actually says dobro.
Uh-huh.
See?
I see it, yeah.
It's actually a brand name for a type of guitar that was invented in the late 20s, and it's just basically got a resonator in it. This is the resonator in here, and it's just a cone. It vibrates and makes it louder. It's sort of like the first electric guitar before there were pickups.
Okay.
To make.
Or amplified guitar.
The first amplified guitar, I guess.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. That's a guitar. Let's see. So, Dave, now, this new album and its sparse acoustic stylings, is this a new direction for you, or just a one-off recording. What about your next record? What's it going to be?
Oh, I think it's going to be an all-instrumental kind of Broadway. I'm going to do Broadway show tunes, but in a surf style. I'm not. Well, the next one might be a little more rock and rolly, but it'll be. I really like recording this way.
So maybe a mixture.
Yeah, but it'll be in this direction because this was the most fun I had making a record since the Blasters made their first record in a garage in Van Nuys. We did 24 songs in 2 days, and that was a lot of fun. And I've always had fun in the studio, and I love being in the studio, but this was just like I felt...
What made this one fun?
Well...
Certainly not in 2 days. You didn't do it in 2 days.
Well, we did it fairly quickly, and it was also live, so if I screwed up the song, we'd have to do it again. If I screwed up the vocal and played a great guitar part, tough. If I did everything right and the bass player screwed up, tough.
For the bass player.
Tough for the bass player. And I like recording that way. And I, like I said, though, I think I get a little frustrated if I get have to be pigeonholed into anything, you know. And sometimes I get really angry. Not angry, but I get frustrated at audiences that only want to hear... I can do that. I'm real good at it. And I've done it for years, and I love doing it still. And on the other hand, I get frustrated when people only want to hear, you know, that kind of stuff.
So you're more of an eclectic kind of guy.
Oh, I'm definitely, an evening becomes eclectic kind of guy, though, I have to tell you. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's like I was saying earlier, it's all the same stuff, you know. Like when I make tapes at home, I'll have an Otis Redding ballad followed by, something incredibly loud by Otis Rush followed by, you know, George Jones. And it's all the same to me. Yeah.
Well, so you're equally adept in folk, rock, blues, country, rockabilly. And so by mixing up these styles in, say, a set list or a sequence for an album, do you feel that you attract or diffuse an audience?
Both. You know, if I was to pick one, if I was to become, say, just do all blues, or all country, or all rockabilly. These days, people want things generic. You know, hey, Hazel, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. Let's go see a blues band. Okay, well, let's go see Dave Alvin. Well, he's not quite blues. You know, or hey, Tina, let's go to see a country show. Or hey, Johnny, let's go to a rockabilly. Let's go see a rockabilly combo. And that's what people want. And they're catered that way. You know, marketing caters to people in a generic way. Well, we can market this band because they're this. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, it's real difficult to mix things up now. But on the other hand, it's more fulfilling, you know, because my brother Phil and I used to follow around Big Joe Turner and Lightnin' Hopkins and Lee Allen and T-Bone Walker and those guys. And they were the sum total of all their parts, you know, of all they had seen and all that. And I've learned a lot about music and life from those guys, but I've also experienced other things. So I don't feel comfortable just going up and saying, hey, man, I'm going to play the blues and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Or the same way with country music, you know. I don't feel comfortable going up and saying, well, how y'all doing? Like my hat? You know, it's to me, I have to be Dave Alvin. And unfortunately, he's not a million-dollar money-making concern, But damn, he can talk, folks. He can just go on for hours, can't he?
Well, King of California, the theme of the record is sort of melancholy. It's sort of about California being the land of dreams and dashed hopes.
Yeah.
And what about you? I mean, you've certainly, a lot of your dreams have certainly come true, but do you have some dashed hopes as well?
Do you know what my dreams are?
I mean, I hope. I would think.
Well, I've been real fortunate in the fact that I've been able to survive one way or another playing music for like 14 years now. And a lot of people can't, so I'm not going to say I'm not blessed in that respect. But, you know, I mean, you know, next time you come over to my mansion in Beverly Hills, you know, and we go out on my yacht, and, you know, then we'll talk about dreams coming through. But, you know, a long time ago when we started the Blasters and we were all working day jobs and I was a fry cook, and the only thing we wanted was to not have to work day jobs. That was like, God, if we could play whatever we wanted and not work a day job, man, that would just be heaven. And so for 14 years, I haven't worked a day job. And so in a way, that's wonderful. But on the other hand, there's frustrating things about, you know, touring constantly in order to promote records and... it's an everyday battle.
Yeah, which is another theme of your album, the day-to-day getting by and surviving.
Getting out of bed in the morning kind of thing.
On your album, you've got a track. It's a cover tune called Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. Memphis Slim.
Yeah. Peter Chapman.
I would love to hear that one. Or we could do Dry River.
Let's do Dry River.
I love Mother Earth, but...
Okay.
I'll play the intro while Greg's getting his other guitar. The reason, like I did Mother Earth and East Texas Blues and this Tom Russell song called Blue Wing, was those were songs that that kind of influenced and changed my life. Mother Earth and East Texas Blues were records I had when I was a little kid. And it's funny, you listen to something like that when you're a little kid, and then when you become an adult, you write like sad, depressing songs. So that there might be something to that.
Like Dry River.
Well, Dry River is where Mother Earth is a blues. This is a very autobiographical blues. This is one I wrote myself, and I wrote myself alone. This one I wrote was about, I grew up in Downey, California, and it was, when I was a little kid, it was, you know, you had orange groves and avocado groves and bean fields, and it was surrounded by two rivers, the Rio Hondo and the San Gabriel, and they're both paved with cement. And then one day there were orange groves, and the next day there weren't. And that has something, that has an effect, I think, on your spiritual and psychological state. And that's kind of what this song's about. Born by a river, but it was paved with cement. I was born by a river, but it was paved with cement. But still I'd stand in that dry river and dream that I was soaking. Dry anymore. Well, I played in the orange groves until they bulldozed all the trees. Yeah, I played in the orange groves till they bulldozed all the trees. But still I'd stand amongst the dead stumps and smell blossoms on the leaves. Someday it's gonna rain. Someday it's gonna pour. Someday all those dead trees will, Lord, they won't be dead anymore. Fell in love with a woman, but she did not fall for me. I fell in love with you, baby, but you did not fall for me. Now I'm as dry as that whole river here. I'm as dead as those old trees. Lord, it won't be dry in it. Oh.
Dave Allen playing live on KCRW, playing tonight live at 8 p.m. at the Troubadour with Greg Lease on dobro. And any others playing with you tonight?
Oh, yeah, the Troubadour. Oh, it's a full band.
All right. Who
it's
else?
A full rocking combo. Oh, Gregory Boaz is playing bass. Gregory was used to be in a band called Tex and the Horseheads years ago, and he's been playing around town with Duke Logan and people like that. Rick Solom's on keyboards. He's played on my couple albums of mine, Blue Boulevard, Museum of Heart. And the legendary Bobby Lloyd Hicks from Springfield, Missouri, from the Skeletons and Jonathan Richman and Steve Forbert fame, is playing drums.
Yeah, so you'll be doing some rockin' ones and
yeah, we're
going to
come out and do like a bunch of acoustic things with the full band. Then we're going to switch gears and sweat, as you so eloquently put it earlier.
I'm Liza Richardson. You're listening to Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW. I'm sitting in for Chris DeRitas, and my guests in the studio are Dave Allen and Greg Lease. Now, we just heard a tune that is from your previous album, Blue Boulevard.
Two albums ago.
Yeah, Dry River. And we're about to hear one called Kern River, which is a Merle Haggard cover tune, and it's found on a new collection that you have executive produced along with Tom Russell. It's called Tulare Dust.
Yeah.
Which is part of an area of California, right?
San Joaquin Valley.
Yeah. I'm just really curious about these tribute records. I mean, especially with an artist like Merle Haggard, who has 65 albums and 40 number one singles. How does one go about...
Why does he deserve a tribute?
No, but how do you go about deciding who does what songs?
Well, in some cases, we like let people just choose whatever songs. Like, what Merle song do you want to do? And in one or two cases, we kind of push them in a direction.
Yeah.
But in general, it was... the reason why I think the album works is... Everyone chose a song that sounds like they could have written it. And the whole accent for me on this record was to get away from Merle Haggard, the stereotype and the myth, and some of the myths he sort of perpetuated himself, you know.
And the patriotism and the...
Well, yeah. Well, he's a pretty ambiguous guy. I mean, if the album was called Tulare Dust, a tribute to Bob Dylan, and it was the same song, you would listen to something like Irma Jackson, which is about an interracial love affair, or something like Tearing the Labor Camps Down, which is about where are migrant farmers going to live, you would think, oh, who's this left-wing songwriter here? And so I really wanted to just get it away from all that stuff and just make it the songs and let songwriters interpret the way they see it in the way... No one tried to sound like Merle, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And what... I think it works that way as a tribute record, because some tribute records are just tongue-in-cheek, or they're, you know, they don't really expand your knowledge of the artist that's being tributized or tributed. And so this, we were trying to get it so people go, hey, you know, Merle Haggard, he's a pretty good songwriter.
Oh, he's incredible.
Because we were aiming it for the non-Merle Haggard fan.
Yeah.
You know, because some people who listen to Lucinda Williams or Marshall Crenshaw maybe would never pick up a Merle Haggard record.
Who are both on this recording, along with fellow California CNW writers like Dwight Yoakam and Iris Dement, Rosie Flores, and you, Dave Alvin. Now, what drew you to your choice, Kern River?
Well...
You could have written that song.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I could have, but I wish I would have. But it's kind of been more in my lyrical style, and it's a song I always dug, and when I was a little kid, we always took our vacations on the Kern River.
Cool. And good reason either.
Yeah, I always kind of had a soft spot for the Kern River.
Well, what about All in the Movies and Brandon Mann and Rainbow Stew and Mama Tried? I guess that's for Volume 2,
Well,
right?
There's a Nashville tribute, which is like the stars doing the hits.
Right.
And we were really trying to push people away from the hits and into the obscure songs that in some cases are better songs, in my opinion. You know, Mama Tried, we had an agreement roughly that we wouldn't do any of the same songs. And
as the Nashville tribute, which probably has Cher on it or something, right? Maybe not that bad.
It has Emmylou Harris and Willie Nelson, which is great, and then it has some other people that are, I don't know. Oh, I'm not going to tell people what's country or not. I'm a blues guy. But anyway, hopefully, you know, like I said, it will change some people's minds about Merle Haggard, the songwriter, because he has written an incredible batch of songs over 30 years, and with the exception of him and Bob Dylan, I can't think of too many other people that since the early 60s have are still writing great songs.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll do Kern River here. I'll never swim Kern River again. It's there that I met her, there that I lost my best friend. I live in the mountains that drifted up here with the wind. And I may drown in still waters, but I'll never swim Kern River again. In an oil town, but my gut never came in. And the river was a boundary where my darling and I used to swim. One night in the moonlight, the swift wind swept her life away. Now I live on Lake Shasta, and Lake Shasta where I will stay. And I'll never swim Kern River again. There that I met her, there that I lost my best friend. I live in the mountains that drifted up here with the wind. And I'm a drowning still waters, but I'll never swim Kern River again. But now the South San Joaquin, where the seeds of the Dust Bowl are found, place called Mount Whitney, where the mighty Kern River runs down. Well, it ain't deep nor wide, but it's a mean piece of water, my friend. And I may cross on the highway, but I'll never swim Kern River again. Oh, I'll never swim Kern River again. There that I met her, there that I lost my best friend. I live in the mountains that drifted up here with the wind. And I drown in the still waters, but I'll never swim again. Yeah, I may pass on the highway, but I'll never swim. He's a good old California boy, that Merle Haggard.
That's right, and so are you. Dave Alvin, live on KCRW and Morning Becomes Eclectic. I'm Liza Richardson, sitting in for Chris Derides, and... well, my thanks to Susan Eric and Tracy Saratine and to Bob Carlson for engineering this live broadcast, to Greg Lease, and especially to Dave Alvin.
Thanks.
And thank you for coming by, and we'll see you tonight at the Troubadour, 8 o'clock. Give us a call. We have 5 pairs of tickets for our subscribers to see Dave Alvin at the Troubadour tonight at 8 p.m. with Phil Cody opening up that show. We'll also send autographed copies of his latest CD entitled King of California and to Larry Dust, the Merle Haggard tribute album produced by Dave Alvin and Tom Russell. If you have not received CDs or tickets from us in the past 90 days, give us a call now with your member number at 310-450-3524 for a chance to win tickets to see Dave Alvin tonight and copies of his 2 CDs. These tickets and CDs are available to our subscribers only on a first-come, first-served basis. What a haul. 310-450-3524. 24. I'm Liza Richardson. Thanks very much for keeping me company this morning and Morning Becomes Eclectic. Chris is back next week, and I'm back tomorrow.